But it's always good to be together as we gather around God's Word, and I'm just excited to get into it. I get the privilege of wrapping up a sermon series called Joining Jesus as a Family. And I pray the series has been a blessing to you, and I guess most importantly, I pray that it's helped sharpen the focus for each of us to understand and appreciate what it means to be a family of Christ followers who are joyfully engaged in joining Jesus on his mission of redemption in this fallen world. Now, if you haven't been with us each and every week, or if you're new to Messiah, I would encourage you to go online to our archives and listen to some of the messages, or all the messages in this series. We hit some really important topics. We talked a number of weeks about our identity, our true identity in Christ. It's so important. We talked a couple of weeks about increasing our capacity to share our faith into this world. And I can't think of a better way to wrap up this series than to talk about God's love in action, especially as we think about Thanksgiving and Christmas and those things coming up, God's love acting in this world. But let's pray and we'll dig into this. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move mightily. Allow your word to just really take root into our hearts and minds, and Lord, not only for us to experience your love, that perfect love, but also to live it out into this world in a way that makes a true difference. And so, Lord, as we dig into your word today, I pray your blessings. Guide and grow us as your people. We pray it in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, if we're going to talk about love in action, it probably would be a good idea for us to start by talking about what gets in the way of you and I expressing God's love into this world, and it is our fallen condition. It is that thing called sin. In fact, in speaking about love, I want to ask you a question that I've asked before, so I'm hoping some of us here, I'm not looking at anybody whose wedding I may have done recently, that would know the answer to this question. I tend to ask it of brides and grooms a lot. But as we think about love, I want you to answer this question. It fits really well with Pastor Dustin's message last week on humility, but here it is. What is the opposite of love? What would you say? A lot of people say hate. Well, you're not wholly wrong, but mostly wrong. Opposite of love? There, somebody's listening. I got it over there. Selfishness. That's the opposite of love. And I want you to think about this for a minute, because you see, God, his love for us, in fact, his love is the complete opposite of selfishness, and it is the epitome or the best example of selflessness, a love that gave it all to save us all. So God's love, God is love, and his love is perfect, but we, on the other hand, are not. In fact, because of sin, selfishness comes pretty natural to us, doesn't it? We're pretty good at it. And therefore, we have to keep our selfishness, our sin, in check. And the best way for us to do that is to live a life of repentance so that we can experience the perfect love of God and forgiveness. But the other way to keep it in check is then to practice living out his perfect love by loving others around us. But we do so in a world, obviously, you know as well as I that we live in a world that offers up a lot of pain, a lot of struggles. We witness that going on in the world around us. In fact, we see the world, humankind, getting caught up in selfishness and in greed and in anger and in hostility when we don't get what we want or when we don't get our own way. You see, I like to think about this as I was going through this text, that our world needs a heart transplant. It needs a new heart that's beating in sync with God's heart. In other words, we need a revival of real and genuine love. Not the feel-good kind of love. Not the hands across America, I want to give the world a Coke kind of love. I'm talking about our world needs a revival of genuine, deep, tangible, transformative, Christ-centered love that is born out of the very heart of God. So how does that kind of revival happen? Well, it has to begin with you and I understanding and living into our true identity. who we are in Christ Jesus, and then living that identity into the world around us. So let's spend a moment talking about that. Who are you? What is our identity? Well, I can tell you something very truthful today, that because of Jesus, you are a new creation. You have received a new heart. You are living a transformed life now and on your way to heaven. And in fact, if you turn, if you got your Bibles open, turn back one chapter to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, and listen to what John says. He goes, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, has given to you, that we should be called children of God, and what? So we are." So you are a child of God. What I love about the Christian life, what I love about being a part of an amazing family like Messiah, a church family, is that God takes the idea of love out of the realm of philosophy, out of the nebulous or abstract concepts in the intellect, and he makes it tangible. He makes it concrete. God makes his love real, something felt, seen, and experienced, so that we can know in the heart of hearts that God's love for us is not something that's wishful thinking, it is loving fact. Now we know this because God loves us not just with words, but he loves us with action. In fact, we say that God's love and action God gave. What did he give? He gave his one and only son, that so that you and I could be sons and daughters of the King. That we are wholly and dearly loved. Because I'll tell you what, when God loves in action, there was a very real crucifixion. There was a very real resurrection. In a world of skepticism, have no doubt you are holy and dearly loved children of the Heavenly Father. But here's the next cool part about your and my our identity in Christ Jesus. You see, all this amazing unconditional love that God has poured into us, we can't just keep it bottled up within us. We'll burst. I mean, God's love is alive. It's active. It needs, it beckons to flow out from us into the lives of others. And I'll tell you, friends, that is how God designed you. That's how he designed you to be a change agent in this world in which we live, through the power of his love. Now, I love a quote from Louis Giglio. If you've ever read anything by him, it's in his book, Seeing God as a Perfect Father. The words are small, but I'm going to read it for you. This is what Louis, he brings into this imagery of like a waterfall. I love this. He says, "Imagine the love of God pouring down on you from a huge elevated river source. You're standing at the foot of a waterfall. It's the biggest waterfall you've ever seen. You're drinking in this love. You're being washed and made new by this love. Then the love that goes out from you is like a pipeline that carries the water from you to all the people in your life. You're vitally connected to the river source, and you simply let the water flow from the source to others around you." You see, my friends, this is how God designed you to impact this world. And I'll make you a guarantee here this morning. You can hold me to this. I will guarantee you that you will experience no greater joy in your life than when you see somebody's life changed because they experience the love of Jesus through you. It can be in your home. It can be out in the community. It can be people you know. It can be a total stranger. And the reason I know this for absolute certain, again, is because it's God's design. He designed you to not only be the focus of his love, but he designed you to be that pipeline that carries his love into the world. And we know just how badly this world needs the love of Jesus. So I want you to walk with me into this text. I hope you have your Bibles open, John's first epistle. I want you to not only see how we experience God's love, but I also, very importantly, I want you to hear his call to action. A life lived out, not because you have to, but because you get to. So verse 7, it says this, "Beloved, Let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. I mean, this has identity written all over it. Beloved, you are dearly loved children of God. Now, something as you go through these verses, every time you hear the word love or loved or beloved, it is in one shape or form a form of the word agape, that kind of love. And what is agape? It's selfish, sacrificial, and unconditional. It's the highest type of love in the Bible. It extends beyond emotions, feelings, or sentiment. It's active, and agape demonstrates itself through actions. So verse 7, God through John is saying, let us agape one another. Demonstrate that highest form of love toward one another. Selfless, not selfish. Sacrificial, not self-serving. Unconditional, not just words. And when we love that way, we demonstrate that we have been born again into God's love and our identity is in Him. But John gives us a warning in verse 8. He says, anyone who does not love does not know God because God is love. Now, I want to put your conscience at ease. This doesn't mean that every time you struggle with loving someone, because we all struggle with, we call them EGR people, extra grace required, you know them. When we struggle to love, that doesn't mean we don't know God. What John is talking about here is a heart condition. He's talking about a way of life. Let me put it positively. If you've received a brand new heart from God, which you have, there is no way to hold back that love from flowing out of it. It's natural. It's like that waterfall thing. But jump with me into verse 9. I love this. He says, in this, mark that, the love of God was made manifest, I want you to mark that, among us, that God sent His only Son into the world that we might live through Him. And so John is saying, in this, well, in what? In your life. In the way that you love other people around you. It's in those actions that God's love is made manifest into the world. And manifest means to make visible what has been hidden. Or what is unknown. It's the same word in Scripture that is used when Jesus appears after His resurrection. He is made manifest into the world once again. You see, when we demonstrate God's love toward others, we are doing that. We're revealing. We're revealing, making Jesus manifest to them. This is so critical for us to understand. You see, God's love is revealed in us through Jesus, but it's revealed through us as we love others. Now, again, keep walking with me. Go into verse 10. In this love, in that kind of love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or the covering over our sins. And lest we forget, friends, our love for Jesus and our love for one another is a response to His love for us. His love always comes first. Jesus loved us first. Jesus was sent as the only begotten Son of God to cover our sins, to win for us forgiveness and salvation, to fill us with His gift of love. And so then, or now, we have the amazing opportunity, we have the privilege of making His love manifest into the world through the way we live sacrificially and selflessly as we love others. But then John drives the point home once again. Verse 11. So, he says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Now, in the English, the word ought, it seems too weak to me. Because in the Greek, the word there is we owe a debt. We have an obligation. There is a calling upon us. Not to earn God's love, but because He loves us already perfectly. So now think about this next verse, and I want you to really ponder this, deeply consider the truth of what John is telling us in verse 12. This is important. No one has ever seen God, and I like to put the word but in there, but it's not, but it's like, so if we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. Now one day you and I are going to see God face to face. Right now we don't see Him physically, we don't have these in-person meetings. But when we agape, when we love one another, not only is God living in us, but his love is perfected through us. And that means that people will see Jesus in you and through you. And what that means to me, and I think this is so critical, that for some people in this world today, their very first experience of God might be in how you demonstrate agape for them. That might be the very first way in which they see and experience God. But I tell you what, again, I'll say there's no greater joy, guaranteed, no greater joy than when you see someone experience the love of God for the very first time because they saw it in you. Now, loving people in this broken world isn't always easy. Am I right? I've talked about EGR people already, extra grace required. Yeah. In some cases, honestly, it's the hardest thing you'll do. But whenever you struggle with that, whenever Satan wants to try to convince you that it's not worth your effort or you're not worthy of it, John reminds us in that last verse that Austin read a moment ago, in verse 13, he says, "But this, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit." Not only are you loved perfectly by God all the time, but you have the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, dwelling in you. After Jesus died and the temple curtain was torn in two, is at that moment that your heart and mine became the Holy of Holies, in which the Holy Spirit dwells forever. That's amazing. So I want to just lead us into the closing here, and I want to maybe talk practically to us on how we demonstrate this kind of love. Because what I believe the Apostle John is doing in this reading and in his epistles, in fact, he's trying to paint this picture. He's picture of a beautiful faith family, like our family of Messiah here, plopped down right smack dab in the middle of a world that is strife with division and hostility. A world desperately in need of his perfect love. And God's plan has always been that your life and mine, our actions, our sacrifice, our service are the pipelines in which his love comes into this world and in which his love will change the world. By being a family of faith, it will change the world and it starts by in our homes. It starts with us demonstrating agape and raising up our children, our grandchildren, our family, our friends, to raise them to know that identity in Christ Jesus as followers of Jesus, but then how to live it into the world. But you know, it starts in our homes, but it has to translate into this home, because we're a family. We're a family called Messiah, a family on mission to bring the love of Jesus to more and more people in our community and into the world. And this will happen as we continue to gather together. We gather around the Word, we gather around the sacraments, we are grown together in God's gifts of grace. But I'll tell you something, we won't change the community and we won't change the world if we keep it all bottled up inside. So we must actively, we must intentionally, we must genuinely, we must tangibly reach beyond these walls with the love of the living God to touch the hearts and lives of people as we point them to Jesus. This means something. It means that you and I are playing an active role in inviting other people to come and be a part of a family like this so that they too can feel and experience just how deeply loved they are by God. But you know what? In order to do that, it might take a little bit of a shift in some people's minds. And what I mean by that is Messiah is not a place you come to. Messiah is a place where you belong. And other people are invited to belong. And as people come, and we have guests just in our worship, we have guests every single week, and there'll be a lot more of them coming Thanksgiving and into Christmas season. But we have the great opportunity and the responsibility to demonstrate the highest form of love in the Bible, agape, and so that they feel welcomed. And if they're searching, so they find a home. But that means that when we ask you to help at Messiah, when we ask you to be a part of this, one thing you can take out of your minds is I'm never going to ask you to volunteer at Messiah. Just no. We volunteer at places we don't belong, places outside of our responsibilities. But I will ask you to serve, because that's what families do. In fact, we serve because we love, and we love as we serve. And when we do this together, not only is the body of Christ built up, not only are we strengthened in our faith and find comfort and peace in our Lord Jesus, but we also serve our guests who join us in the community that surrounds us. Being a family, it means that when we ask you to live sacrificially, to give of your time, to give of your talents, to give of your treasures, your tithes and offerings, we're not asking you to do something for the church. We're asking you to live sacrificially because you are the church. We are God's love in action. I'm going to finish this time up with you with a quote right out of the book, Joining Jesus as a Family. Again, the words are small, but I'll read them to you. According to 1 John 4, 7, and 8, out of our text, love comes from God and God is love. Because love is from God and is God, that makes love a bona fide superpower. Think about it. God's love literally transforms human beings from the inside out. Anger doesn't do it. Disapproval doesn't do it. Shame doesn't do it. The only thing that changes a human being from the inside out is God's love. Well, love changed you. And it will be love that will ultimately change any other human being. And you and I have the privilege of being that great pipeline that can bring that love, that perfect love of God, into this world so that other people can see Jesus and come to know him. Amen? Amen. That's us. I didn't feel really convicted by that amen, but amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.